Okay, so now we're being recorded. So if everyone could press star 6 to mute themselves, that way there won't be any background noise. But at any time, if you want to ask me a question, just press star 6 again, and you can unmute so that you can ask me the question. So now we're going to, we're taping it. So that way, if anyone has to miss the class, they can access the class anytime they want. And the playback number is 610-214-0299, and the access code is 704-725, followed by the pound key. And tonight's recording will be class number 2. So ask which class you want. So all the classes will be recorded. And if you ever get confused and you're not sure what the class number is, we're going to keep track of each class in the office so the receptionist will know. Just tell her the date that you missed, and we'll tell you the reference number for that class. So that's good. So these will be taped forever, and you can go back whenever you want and listen to them. And I've noticed that some people are going back once or twice and listening again, or maybe taking notes, you know, each time they listen. So we'll get started. We're going to talk tonight about detoxification because the spring season is coming upon us now. This is the best time of year for cleansing. The fall is also a good time to cleanse, but you can actually release more toxins in the spring. So in my practice, we pay a lot of attention to the spring cleanse, and we take it very seriously. Now, I just wanted to talk a little bit about toxins. Every one of you that sees me as a patient, you know that we're always talking about detoxification, when to do it, when not to do it. And I think that sometimes people think that they wonder why they're so toxic. Maybe they've been eating healthy, you know, they have a pretty clean diet, and they think, well, you know, I don't work in a chemical plant or, you know, I'm not really exposed to that many toxins. But the real truth is that among all the other things our body is doing all day, it's making all different things. It's making energy, making this hormone or this neurotransmitter. Also, the body is processing toxins out through the bowel movement, urine, sweat, even the breath. So, and toxins, you don't have to live in a, you know, a real toxic area just to be toxic, because toxins are made on the inside of the body whenever the food doesn't digest well, and we also take in toxins from outside the body. So outside the body, we could be breathing in air pollution, or some of us might not understand that whatever we put on our skin goes directly into the bloodstream, only quicker than if you had swallowed it. So you have to be careful what you put on your skin. In fact, there's a saying, don't put on the skin anything that you wouldn't swallow by your mouth, because it's going to go to the same place, only quicker. So here we're taking in toxins, we're breathing in air pollution, and then we have one of the worst diets in the world. Our diet in America is pretty toxic. And again, even though most of us might be eating healthy now, we all grew up in a pretty toxic diet. So now the other point is that these are toxins from the outside world. We're going to talk more about them. And then on the inside, the body can make some toxins whenever the food doesn't digest well. And I think most of you know by now that when I take on a new patient, the very first thing I address is their digestion. We look at the friendly bacteria. We look at the enzyme system, the seat of digestion, which is the liver. We look at the gallbladder and the stomach. And if anything's out of balance there, it's the first thing we address. Because if the food doesn't digest well, you actually make toxins from the food. And we're going to talk about that in great detail tonight, too. So let's talk about now, then, the four types of toxins. Lots of you know that we're undergoing cleansing in the spring. Many of you might have done a cleanse or several cleanses in the fall, but you might not have known the theory behind it all, so it's good to learn that now. So there's four types of toxins. The first one is called ama. It's spelled A-M-A. And that word in Sanskrit means partially digested food. So if you read any books on Ayurveda, they'll talk about ama. But they won't talk about the next three toxins that we're going to be discussing. And that's why I'm interested in giving you these classes, because I know that what's out there in the books, we are doing much deeper Ayurveda here in our office, and something you won't be exposed to if you read any of those books. So the word ama then means partially digested food, and that means that for whatever reason, if you eat food and it doesn't digest well, let's say you're getting gas or bloating, that's a signal it's not digesting well, or you're getting heartburn, or you just feel tired after you eat, or heavy. They're all signals that on the inside, the food's not digesting well. And the goal of food when you eat it is that it goes from the channel and gets absorbed into the cells. In a minute, we'll be talking about the physical channels, but for now, I'll just say that when you swallow food, it goes down the esophagus into the stomach, down those channels, into the small intestine, that channel, and eventually it absorbs in the bloodstream and starts traveling through those channels, through the arteries, arterioles, capillaries, smaller and smaller channels, until ultimately the food that you eat gets absorbed into your cells. And so the point of eating food is that your body has to be able to break the food down into small enough particles then that can enter your cells. Otherwise, the food can't do you much good if it's stuck out here in the channel, see? So I think, again, most of you are my patients, and we discussed all the reasons why the food might not digest well. You know, we talked about if you're drinking ice-cold beverages when you eat, or you're jumping up and down a lot when you eat, or you're eating too quickly, or you eat too much at one time. So in other words, if you make any mistakes when you're eating the food, there's a chance that food might not digest well enough to get from the channel and absorbed into the cell. So now it's stuck outside in the channel. I'll give you a good example of a food clogging a channel. Maybe if you ate some ice cream and you felt mucusy after you ate the ice cream, the mucus you're feeling in your sinuses, your throat, that's a channel clogging, see? Or a baby who's formula fed will tend to get a lot of ear infections because the formulas are too heavy for the baby's digest, unlike the breast milk, which is very light, and the breast milk absorbs into the cells easily. The formulas don't absorb so easily because they're so heavy. They hang around in the channel, the little delicate ear canals or channels, and then they start to take on infection, and then they get one ear infection after the other. So then a baby taking formula and getting ear infections is a sign or a good example of ama clogging a channel. And we all know what that feels like. Maybe we ate too much, and we feel heavy after we eat, and we think, oh, why did I eat so much? Some of that food's actually forming toxins, and it's stuck now in the channel, and it's not really nourishing you. So that's ama. And again, any books that you read on Ayurveda will talk about ama. Now, ama is a cold toxin. That's why if we've been eating heavy, too heavily, and our body decides to discharge the ama, it's very cold, we say we have a cold. You know, we're blowing our nose. When we look, when you blow your nose or you cough up mucus when you have a cold, you're actually looking at ama mixed in with the mucus. See, so we've seen it before. And the body's attempting to discharge this, you know, byproduct of, you know, too heavy food. So ama is the white coating that you sometimes see on your tongue. That's a good example. If you could look at your tongue to see if you're digesting your food well. If it's real coated, it means, you know, there's some mistake being made. Either the food's heavy or you're making some mistake when you eat the food so it won't digest well, or there's something wrong with your digestion. So in our office, we attend to every one of those problems. And I know for those of you who are my patients, we've addressed all those issues. So now if you are making some ama and, you know, you don't know how to get rid of it, then like any food, if you put food on the shelf, it starts to ferment. And when it ferments, it becomes more acidic, you know. Like if you take apples and you let them ferment, it forms apple cider vinegar. So when your ama is sitting in the channel stuck there and it starts to ferment, it becomes what's called ama visha. This is spelled V as in Victor, I-S-H-A. So the word visha means poison. So now what this is an acidic version of ama. And this does more harm than plain ama. Plain ama, the main thing with ama is it's channel clogging. So that's bad enough because you could have a heart attack, for instance, if you clog an artery is a channel, or a stroke. Or you could have a head cold or mucusy like that. But amavishya is worse. And amavishya is what causes autoimmune diseases and cancer, because this is a very hot form of toxin, whereas the regular ama is cold. Now, this is a very important point, that most of the books written on Ayurveda describe how to remove ama, this very cold, clogging toxin. And since it's cold, you remove it using heat, like you would take cayenne pepper. In India, they use long pepper, black pepper, all kinds of peppers, and ginger to burn out ama. That's why people say to have ginger tea, maybe, when you have a cold. Or maybe people take honey in their tea when they have a cold, because honey can burn ama, see? So here's the problem. All the books and all the cleanses that have been written about for millennia have been concerning ama. But nowadays, it's a whole different story, and we need someone to write new textbooks on Ayurveda. And my teacher, Dr. Ramakant Mishra, who many of you have met, and he's the one who's been training me for the past 15 years, he's the first one who's saying that we need to shift our attention from ama, because it's not the big problem that it used to be. In other words, in ancient times, that was the toxin that everyone had. They didn't have birth control pills and antibiotics and, you know, and the types of toxins that we're exposing ourselves to today. They had that cold ama, and they needed to burn it out. So I see a lot of patients coming into my practice where they've done what's called a maple syrup cayenne pepper cleanse, where they're using cayenne pepper for cleansing. And again, that might have worked in ancient times when all we had was ama stuck in the channels. But nowadays, it backfires on you. So let me discuss these next three toxins, and you'll see why it backfires. So we have amavishya, which is a hot and reactive form of ama. So it creates heat. And the liver is the main filter. We're going to talk about the different organs of elimination in a minute. But the liver has to deal with a lot of the toxins in the body, since it is the main filter. So the liver tends to overheat. So amavishya creates a lot of heat in the blood. And when it comes through the skin, it forms rashes mainly, or eczema, any kind of rash, shingles, psoriasis. So now the third type of toxin is called garvishya, G-A-R-vishya, V-I-S-H-A. And this type of toxin is worse than the amavishya. The amavishya is worse than the ama. Garvishya occurs outside of the body. See, ama and amavishya are made on the inside when the food doesn't digest well. We make the ama. And if the ama sits in there too long, it starts to ferment and cause a more acidic version of ama, amavishya. But garvishya is a man-made toxin. So this would be like pharmaceuticals. It would be like air pollution, pesticides that we spray on the food, all the toxins and the immunizations they're giving out nowadays, and even vitamins. See, that's the problem with vitamins. They're synthetically made. Now, if you're taking the food version, if you're getting your beta-carotene, vitamin C, zinc, selenium, B-complex, etc. in the food, that's the way nature intended it. But when you're making those vitamins in a lab and you're extracting the active ingredient out of the food, now it enters the realm of a man-made toxin. So that then, these vitamins would be in that realm of garvishya, or poison, and stronger poison than the amavishya. So we know that, you know, arsenic and lead and mercury, formaldehyde, these things cause worse diseases than just amavishya, see? So that's the garvishya. Now, garvishya, too, is very hot. It's even more hot than amavishya because, you know, rain, when it goes through air pollution, it becomes acid rain. So if we've been exposed to lots of chemicals, and living in this part of the country, we are. We have a lot of air pollution and exhaust fumes, and, you know, our whole country depends on so many pharmaceuticals and antibiotics. Then these hot acidic toxins are sitting in the liver, and they make the liver overheat. So we're going to keep that in mind as we talk about cleansing, that nowadays we have these very hot toxins that the ancients didn't have. You know, they didn't have antibiotics, and they didn't used to spray the food with pesticides. They didn't have them in the old days. So it's another thing that we have to take into consideration when we're thinking about removing toxins. Otherwise, the cleanse will backfire on you. And we're going to talk a lot about that in a minute. The fourth type of toxin, which is the worst type, are the electromagnetic toxins, or we could call them EMFs. And these are the toxins that are from cell phone towers, computers, radiation, high-tension wires, microwaves, televisions, like that. Now, these are considered the worst toxin because I don't know if you remember in the other two classes, we were talking about the pranic energy. And the pranic energy, it's the energy that comes from the sun and the moon, and that's a vibration that the sun and the moon are putting out. That vibration then, which is very pure, makes, you know, all everything in creation grow, including us, all the plants and the food and trees and grass. That space element, that pranic energy is made of five elements: space, air, fire, water, and earth. So just like we can pollute the water with some chemical, the space element becomes polluted with the electromagnetic frequencies. That's where that goes. And the reason this is considered the worst toxin, because whether you know it or not, your body is mainly empty space. I don't know if any of you ever studied quantum physics, but mainly all the cells in your body, it's like a nucleus in the center of your cells, and they have electrons circulating around. And that is mainly empty space, see? So the body then is mainly empty space. And the way nature manifests, it goes from unmanifest to manifest. And it's the space element that has this potential to kind of create things. And so if that space element becomes corrupted, then whatever is being created could be corrupted as well, see? So just like I was saying on the last class, if we eat food now that we've damaged the pranic energy, let's say we microwave it, now the food, instead of coming into the body intelligent with good pranic energy, it's now unintelligent, see? So then the body does unintelligent things, and that's how we get sick, from that unintelligent food. So the same with the space element. If we pollute it with the electromagnetic toxins, then our cells that are being made could be not so great. You know, that's why radiation is pretty bad, you know. So we have to stay away from that. Or x-rays, if you get an x-ray, they turn that unit on and off real fast. People get out of the room and they take an x-ray. So that's why, because these can corrupt the formation of your cells pretty quickly. So there are the four types of toxins: ama, amavisha, garvisha, and electromagnetic toxins. Now, the next thing you need to know when you want to understand cleansing are the channels in the body. There's two types of channels. There are vibrational channels that carry that pranic energy that we were talking about. And I think that we were discussing how the vibrational energy comes into the body. The vibrational energy, or prana, as the ancient doctors called it, the Chinese call it qi, it's nothing more than the vibration from the sun and the moon, and they combine, and they call that prana, along with the third element, which helps the pranic energy to move. So we have in the pranic energy three elements. The ancient doctors called them soma, coming from the moon, like a cooling lunar energy; agni, coming from the sun. Agni means like fire. And then marut, which is the flow, the movement of those two energies. Just like in a battery, you have a plus charge, a minus charge, and then the flow of that those charges. So this is the vibrational energy, and collectively it's called prana. It comes into the body at the top of the head and circulates down the spine. And from the spine, it goes all through the body to all the organs, glands, systems, arms, and legs. See? The problem nowadays, these EMFs are burning the soma in the prana. See, soma is like a cooling energy, whereas these electromagnetic toxins are kind of hot and fiery. So they're burning the soma and the prana. Now, when the pranic energy comes in, again, it's the three components, soma from the moon, agni or fire from the sun, and then the flow of those. In the body, they form what the ancient doctors call vata, pitta, and kapha. And I don't want to expound too much on those because we did talk about those for the two last classes. So if any of you missed that, you could access that class last time. But vata is the flow, like movement. It controls the circulation of blood, the churning of food through the stomach, anything that's moving, the downward flow of the menstrual fluid, of the bowel movement, anything moving is under the control of vata. See, and that used to be marut when it was outside in nature. Then the soma, when it comes into the body, forms kapha, and it also forms ojas. A rough translation of ojas is the neurotransmitters and the hormones in our body. So then, see, the EMFs are burning the soma, this cooling lunar energy in the prana. So as a result, inside our bodies, we're having less kapha, less ojas. And ojas gives you immunity to disease. That's why the EMFs can cause cancer quickly. It's burning the ojas. You don't want to burn your ojas. And I think we had talked about ojas on the last visit. It's a compound that the body makes. It's the exact opposite of ama. The body makes ama when the food doesn't digest well, or if the food's not so healthy to begin with or too heavy. But if the food's healthy and your digestion is good, you start producing ojas. This is why a lot of our patients start to feel well as they continue to come, they do some cleansing, they're eating healthy. And ojas makes you feel very light and happy and blissful. See, whereas ama makes you feel kind of heavy, depressed, dull, lethargic, like that. So then that means then, since there are so many EMFs, we have to avoid those as much as we can. And one way is if we are exposed to computers too much or cell phones, is to try to get out in nature, and nature can absorb these EMFs out of your body. Maybe walking directly on the earth, lying directly on the sand when you go to the beach, walking in the moonlight at night to get more solar or soma energy from the moon. You could sit
Marianne,
at the base. Yeah.
Did you say EM? Is it F as in Frank?
EMF as in Frank. It stands for electromagnetic frequencies.
Oh, frequency. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Sometimes they
Thank
call
you.
Electromagnetic radiation. You could call it EMRs also. So these are all the ways to counteract that type of toxin, going out in nature, sitting on a tree, even wrapping your arms around the tree like that. That's why people hug trees. But it's true. In India, the snakes wrap themselves around trees because they have poison in their body, and the poison is acidic, too. It's burning, and the tree gives them more soma, like it cools down that. In fact, my teacher, Dr. Mishra, has a formula if you're really exposed to too many EMFs. He got the barks of about 10 or 12 trees, and he made it into a spray. And you could spray that around your room if you're working on computers a lot, and that will absorb the EMFs so you're not absorbing it yourself. So here we have these vibrational channels carrying the pranic flow and supplying it to all the systems, organs, and glands in the body. So they're the vibrational channels. Then there are physical channels. The vibrational channels don't have any boundaries. It would be just like if you turned on a television with a remote. You can't see that channel there. It's a vibrational channel. But now we're going to talk about the physical channels, and these channels do have boundaries. And there are three types of physical channels, large, medium, and small. A large channel would be like the mouth on down to the rectum, where food's going through that channel. Medium channels could be like the arteries and veins that carry blood, or the lymphatic vessels that carry the lymphatic fluid. Small channels would be like the sweat pores or the little microcirculatory channels in the brain. The ancient doctors said there were so many channels they couldn't count them all, so many physical channels. Now, here's an important point. When you're doing a cleanse, before you do the cleanse, you have to make sure two things, that the channels aren't inflamed and that they're not clogged. See, lots of people will come and they'll tell me, oh, I did a cleanse last summer. I did this, whatever cleanse it was, or I might have done this cleanse all through the fall. and I'll feel their pulse and their channels are all clogged. So if the channels are clogged, let's say you're trying to pull toxins out of the liver, then the toxins will easily come out and they'll travel through channels into the bowel movement, urine, and the sweat. They have to come out of the body. But if the channels are clogged, then they'll easily come out of the liver and then they'll sit stuck in the channels and then just reabsorb. So you really didn't get anywhere with that cleanse. The other big problem is inflammation in the channels. And I'd say more than half of my patients have this. And if you think about it, it happens from the liver. It all stems back to the liver. It's one of many reasons why we pay a lot of attention to the liver. As we're ingesting toxins through our lifetime, again, most of those are acidic in nature, the liver becomes overly heated. If the liver overheats, the liver makes the blood. Then the blood overheats, see? So now you have this hot blood circulating through those channels. The blood eventually turns into urine, and now the urine becomes hot, see? So little by little, the channels in the body start carrying these hot fluids through them, and they become inflamed, see? So a lot of it stems back to the liver. And the reason is the liver, the ancient doctor said the stomach had one flame, one digestive fire. But they said the liver had five flames. And the reason is because the liver has to extract those five elements out of the food that you eat. All the foods have those five elements we were talking about: space, air, fire, water, and earth. So because the liver has five flames, it has that tendency to easily overheat unless you know how to prevent it. So when you come see me, I give you all the reasons why it might overheat. So this might sound familiar, where I tell you not to skip or delay meals. That overheats the liver. Don't go to bed past 10 o'clock at night. That overheats the liver. There's several things that could overheat it. Don't eat too many hot, spicy foods, barbecue sauce and hot salsa and hot peppers. That could overheat the liver. Vinegar, sour foods, see, not to mention alcohol. So all these things overheat. So then, if the channels are inflamed, let's say you're pulling a lot of acidic toxins out of the liver. They're going to travel through these channels now as they exit the body. If the channels are inflamed, there's a chance that when you clean the liver, those hot toxins coming out of the liver could rupture the channels, see? And if that happens, then there's nothing you can do. You can't get to the toxins anymore. Now, that's never happened to me in all my 25 years of practice. I've never ruptured anyone's channels. However, I've had patients do other cleanses, and these cleanses are rupturing their channels, see? Even some good cleanses, because everyone's thinking about how they used to remove toxins in the old days using the maple syrup cayenne pepper cleanse or these, you know, hot peppers, you know. And it doesn't work in this day and age with everyone holding on to the Amavisha and the Garvisha, see? I had a guy come in. He had done, I don't know if any of you have heard of that maple syrup cayenne pepper cleanse. It's kind of popular. I've had several patients through the years tell me they've done it. And he had come in. He had a rash all over his whole body, but it was oozing and all these sores. And he said he was going to some center near us where it's like a holistic center, and everyone was doing that cleanse that summer. And see, we have lack of understanding here in the West as to how to properly cleanse. So now he's got toxins that are hot already stored, his channels are inflamed already, and then they're using cayenne pepper to burn inflamed hot toxins out of the channels. It's a bad combination. So that's the channels there. So now you know the four types of toxins, and you know the two types of channels. Now we'll talk about the different organs that eliminate toxins. See, we all have organs that can eliminate. We have the liver, kidneys, bowel, skin, even the breath. Some toxins can come out there. But what we're doing in the modern era is that we're giving them way too many toxins that they can handle. See, that's the big problem. Now, the main detoxifying organ in the body is the liver. And the ancient doctors said that the liver was the most important organ in the body and to take very good care of it. They felt that the brain was very important, of course, but they said that the liver has to keep the blood clean for the brain. So they felt that's why it was the most important organ in the body. So they said, take good care of it. And as patients come in, I teach them different things, how to keep the liver happy. We teach them about ghee, for instance. The liver loves ghee, hates margarine. We teach them to use a little bit of turmeric during the week, throughout the days of the week in their diet, because turmeric, that yellow spice, is the best friend of the liver, helps the liver detoxify. You don't want to take a capsule of turmeric. A lot of people are doing that. They're selling it in health food stores now. It'll heat up the liver too much, and then it'll backfire on you. But if you put little pinches in your food like that, if you do a daily oil massage, the oil sinks in through the skin, softens up the toxins that are sitting there in the tissues, and allows the body to get rid of those. On a daily basis, you're chipping away at the toxins. It takes some of the toxic load off the liver. And if you're careful with whatever you put in your mouth, everything you swallow, the liver has to process it. So you just always put in things that the liver likes. Good spring water with a good alkaline pH, like Fiji water, Eternal water, Mountain Valley, Evian. You eat good food, food that's grown in nature, not some artificial man-made food or, not processed food, canned food, microwaved, frozen, leftover food. You want good, fresh food cooked that day. Take good care of the liver. The liver, there's a lot of blood flow to the liver. The blood comes in dirty, and it leaves clean. So common sense would tell you you have to clean that filter from time to time. And we usually cleanse it in the spring and in the fall, although I take each person individually, and sometimes I might do a little liver cleanse in the winter if I have to, or in the summer. But ideally, we would do it in the spring and in the fall. Now, this is a big issue in the United States. The liver is overheated in everyone because we have a very nasty diet here, and we rely on a lot of pharmaceuticals. We give a lot of immunizations to our kids. They don't so much do this in other countries. I've had patients come from other countries. They move here and they say that they can't believe all the commercials on TV advertising pharmaceuticals, that people in their countries don't resort to pharmaceuticals like we do here. Every time we get a cold, we take NyQuil or whatever. And the reason is that we're not a traditional culture. We don't remember what our ancestors used. They might have used some herbs if they had a cold, or they might have done some cleansing in the spring. But it just takes one or two generations. When you move to the United States, you forget what your ancestors did. And then you kind of do what everyone does here, where we're relying more on pharmaceuticals than on herbs, which are not toxic to the liver. So in India, everyone's raised on dal, rice, chapatis, lentils, vegetables, like that. They don't have this overheating of the liver with too many acidic toxins, see. So the problem with Ayurveda is that when a lot of the doctors have come over from India to show us their herbs, there's a big problem that they don't understand that the American liver is so corrupted, so hot, so angry, and it has so lost its intelligence that when they bring the herbs, the patients can't take them. They usually break out in rashes, and the doctors from India don't really know how to treat the American patient. I was lucky in that my teacher, Dr. Mishra, stayed here in the United States rather than coming, seeing patients, and going back to India. And he got to see the fallout when he put people on some herbs, like regular herbs. So this was a big issue for him in the early years when I first met him. We spent about 4 years together trying to figure out how to clean the liver, just to clean the liver on the American patient. He brought over all his herbs from India. He put everyone on the cleanses, and they all got rashes, but really severe rashes where they were weeping, and we had to stop the cleanses. Some people got fevers, some got diarrhea, some got sick. Everybody was different, but no one was doing well. So then he said, well, what I'll do, I'll make it a more mild version of the herbs. We tried that, same issues, rashes, everybody got sick. Then he said, you know what, the Americans can't handle the herbs orally. When they're swallowing these herbs, it's heating up their liver's already so hot and overheated and unintelligent and corrupted. So then what he did, he said, he thought he figured it out. He made a transdermal liver cleanse where he put clay on the liver, and that worked really well. That was the first time we were able to do cleanses for the American patients. That was several years ago. And then from there, he went on to say that Many people need more than just three or four herbs, and you can't give the American patients that many. In India, it's not an issue at all, but here you can't do it. So then he decided, what we'll do, we'll put transdermal creams on the body. We'll put the herb on the skin and bypass the liver, so they're not swallowing the herb and it's going to the liver. That worked real well. The only problem with that approach was that you can only put so many herbs in a transdermal cream. Some herbs just don't lend themselves to the cream. Then he got the great idea to use the herbs in little glyceride drops, where you just put one or maybe two drops in a whole liter of water, and you sip on it slowly throughout the day, and then it comes into the liver slowly, and it won't overheat it, see? So, in fact, in 1 month from now, on April 15th, 16th, 17th, there's going to be a National Ayurvedic Medical Association conference, and Dr. Mishra and I will be presenting. I'll be bringing a video of our patients giving testimonials, and then I'll be lecturing. And the topic of my lecture is that what works in India does not work in America, and the doctors are going to have to realize that when they come here. One good example is when they are in India, they recommend sesame oil massages, and that's what everyone does in India. They use that for their daily oil massage. When they brought that to the United States, everyone was getting rashes from it because the sesame oil is too hot for the American skin. So my teacher, luckily, has sat down with me for these last 15 years, and we have seen so many thousands of patients together, and he figured out how to address all these issues, which no one has done before him. And he will be unveiling his new book at this seminar that we'll be having on the National Ayurvedic Medical Association, where for the first time, he's going to discuss these four types of toxins. Up until now, they've only discussed one. That's what the ancient doctors talked about, the ama. But in their ancient textbooks, they did say that they knew there would be certain things that would happen as time progressed that they couldn't foresee. And they left the books wide open for anyone to add the new chapters. And that's what my teacher is doing. His lineage goes back for 5,000 years. In fact, his lineage even treated Lord Krishna's son. So he's going to be writing these new chapters, and this is what he'll be talking about, just what I'm teaching you guys tonight. So here we have the liver. It's the main filter, the main organ of elimination. We also have the kidneys. They get rid of toxins in the urine. And if you keep the liver clean, the kidneys should be fine. But if you see any problem with the kidneys, it's usually because the main filter is clogged up. The bowel, you want to make sure that the bowels are moving every day before you're doing any cleansing, and you have to make sure the day of your cleanse that your bowels are moving. And in fact, if anyone that I see isn't moving their bowels the day they're doing their cleanse, they have to let me know, and I'll give you something to take so that ensures you move your bowels. You have to get these toxins out of those channels, and the bowel is one type of channel, just like the kidneys are getting rid of toxins in the urinary channels. Now, the skin is also an organ of elimination, but what we're trying to do when we cleanse our patients is to direct the toxins away from the skin. The American patient, the average American patient, is holding on to so much amavisha and garvisha, so many hot toxins, that when you start cleansing, they start to break out in rashes all over. So it's a very big issue, how to detox the American patient without that nasty rash coming. And we're pretty successful in doing it. A lot of our patients tell me when I start to see them, they're getting a little rash here or there. That can be expected, but if it starts to get too much, then we have to stop what we're doing and start over and go a little slower. Because, see, what's happened is that for many years, people have been accumulating toxins, and if they don't know how to get rid of them and they haven't kept up with their cleanses, the toxins are just building up and building up. So by the time I see them, there's so many there that when we open the floodgates, they come pouring out. So in the early weeks and early months of my seeing new patients, there's a chance they might get little rashes here or there, and we get calls all the time that, you know, since starting, I'm breaking out in this little rash here, this little one there. And that's okay, as long as it tends to want to go away. But just keep in mind that your skin is intelligent. It's an organ of elimination, and it's just doing what it knows how to do. But as you do the cleanses, you'll notice I'm giving you certain things like binders, foods that can bind the toxins, keep them away from the skin, like taro root is one of them, okra, tapioca, like that. And you've heard me giving you that. And all of you are my patients, so when you come in, I'll be making sure you understand that. But those types of foods combine these toxins and bring them into the bowel movement, see, out through that channel. And then lots of times we use coriander. And in some of the cleanses, we have you put coriander seeds in a, make a tea, and you're sipping that as you're doing your cleanse. Coriander can pull toxins away from the skin and direct them into the urine. So as our patients do their cleanses, we're trying to make sure they don't get any of these nasty rashes. So they're the different organs of elimination, the liver, kidneys, bowel, skin. Now we're going to discuss the seven tissues. In the body, we have seven types of tissues. The first tissue is called rasa. It's spelled R-A-S-A. And in English, this is the plasma. So in other words, when you eat food, it turns into plasma. The next tissue is called rakta, R-A-K-T-A. And that's the English word is blood. See, the rasa, when you're eating food, first you make the plasma from it. Then it has to go through the liver. The liver turns it into intelligent blood, meaning now you have type 1, type 2, you know, type A, type B, type O, like that. But before that, it wasn't so intelligent. Now it's intelligent blood. Then the next tissue is mamsa, M-A-M-S-A. That stands for muscle. The next is meda, M-E-D-A, and that stands for fat. The next one is asti, A-S-T-H-I, that stands for bone. Then there's majja, M-A-J-J-A, that's the nerve tissue. And then the final seventh tissue is shukra, S-H-U-K-R-A, and that's for reproductive fluids. So this is kind of, I always thought this was very interesting. When we take toxins in, they travel from one tissue to the next. When they get into the plasma or the blood, the body right away flushes them out in the urine, the sweat, the bowel movement. The body is trying to keep them from going deeper. And then in a minute we'll talk about what happens if they go deeper. The same thing happens with food. It passes through the seven tissues also. So when you eat food, first it forms the plasma. And each of these seven tissues, the food will spend 3 to 5 days in. So whatever food you're eating today, it'll be in the plasma for a few days. Then it'll go into the blood and spend time there. And then into the muscle, always in the same sequence, fat, bone, nerve, reproductive fluids, like that. And so that means then that the food that you eat today won't nourish all seven tissues until about a month from now. And there's only one exception to that rule. There's one food, the ancient doctors said, and this is a direct quote from their textbooks. This textbook was called the Charak Sanhita. They said that milk nourishes shukra in 24 hours. And what they meant was that milk is the only food that can nourish all seven tissues in one day. See, and every new patient I see is opposed to milk for one reason or another. Either they can't tolerate it, they don't like it, their doctor told them not to have it because it has cholesterol in it. Their holistic doctor said to not have it. If they were going to have it, do they downplay it, just have skim milk or low-fat milk? But here the ancient doctors were saying milk was like a nectar, and this is why. It goes through all seven tissues easily. It nourishes the body unlike any other food. So maybe one night we'll just have one whole class just on milk. But anyway, I wanted to bring that up because whenever I lecture on food, when I get to milk, people start arguing a lot with me, and they ask me to leave, and it gets really nasty. But at any rate, now, so here we have these seven tissues, the plasma, blood, muscle, fat, bone, nerve, and reproductive fluids. And if toxins get in any one of those tissues, specific things will happen. But the good news is that we have specific herbs to pull toxins out of every one of those tissues. For example, Indian sarsaparilla and fenugreek pull toxins out of the fat tissue. There's an herb called guduchi that pulls toxins out of the nerve tissue. There's another one called moringa oleifera can pull toxins out of the nerve tissue, too. There's one called Asti Shrinkle that pulls toxins out of the bone. See? We have others that pull them out of the muscle. So that's a really important thing, because here's what happens if toxins go into any one of the tissues. If toxins go, say, into the blood, you could get hives, see? Let me just get my list here. Or if toxins go into the muscle, you can get fibromyalgia. If they go into the fat tissue, your cholesterol could go up, or you could gain weight for no good reason. You might be eating the same diet and you just start ballooning out. See, doctors just give people cholesterol to lower the cholesterol. They're not aware of this issue that if toxins are getting in the fat tissue, the cholesterol is going to go up. If toxins get in the bone, then you could get osteoporosis. See, that's an epidemic right now because nobody has whole milk in the diet. If toxins get in the nerve tissue, now it's getting serious. The ancient doctor said the deeper the toxins go, then you get more serious diseases. If the toxins make their way to the nerve tissue, then you could get MS. You could get autoimmune diseases. See, and then if toxins make their way to the reproductive fluids, then the person usually dies. So I don't have any patients who have them there, but I have a lot of patients where they have them in the nerve tissue. The interesting thing is as you start pulling them out, you can just watch the autoimmune diseases disintegrate and start going away. See? Now let's talk about when to not do a cleanse. There's always some contraindications to everything. If the person has active inflammatory bowel disease, like ulcerative colitis or Crohn's disease, and they're having an acute flare-up, well, common sense would tell you this isn't the time to do a cleanse. Or if the person is kind of weak and emaciated, you know, they're overly stressed, too much work, you don't want to do a cleanse because cleansing kind of flushes toxins out. It can make you feel a little tired. If the person is pregnant, that's common sense too, or nursing. So sometimes the women will come in, they're nursing, and they'll say, I feel real toxic, can I do a cleanse? You can't do it because whatever toxins you're pulling out of these deep tissues will make their way into the breast milk. If the channels are clogged and inflamed, like I mentioned before, you don't want to do a cleanse. And many of you know that I've spent sometimes several weeks or even months just preparing you for the cleanse, making sure the channels are open, making sure they're not inflamed anymore. If the liver and blood are too hot, you can't do a cleanse. Whenever you cleanse, it makes the liver a little hot, so you have to give yourself a little leeway. And many of you might hear me saying, all right, the liver has cooled down enough, now you can do your cleanse. Now, the best way to cleanse is prepare the liver and the channels. Start out slowly. You have to be monitored during the cleanse. If you start to get a rash, we cut back. Don't rush. In the early weeks and days, you have to start detoxification slowly. Then as time goes on, you're getting more and more of these toxins out and you're handling it well. Then you can go a little heavier and stronger. And also, every case is different. I have some patients, they do one cleanse after the other. They sail through it. They're great. One woman told me after 7 of her home detoxes, her rheumatoid arthritis went away. Someone else does a cleanse. They have to start and stop. They're getting a rash. We have to stop. They don't feel well. Some symptoms came back. The MS got a little worse. We have to stop. Because sometimes when the toxins are coming out, it makes you feel like when they went in, you know. And you have to try to grab them and bind them and take them out so they don't cause a worsening of the MS or whatever it is the person has. So that's a little tricky too. But we've had great, great responses in our office to our cleanses. The patients do really well with them. My teacher from India told me that they're all doing well. He's never seen me rupture anyone's channels, thankfully. Although I've had people go away, and some of them even to good cleansing places like Panchakarma. See, Panchakarma is the type of cleanse they do in India, in Ayurveda. Again, they can do that there. It's a wonderful cleanse. But when people do it in America, it can bother them because we're not prepared for that kind of a strong cleanse. The cleanses that I give our patients, we call it home Panchakarma, where we're understanding all these issues of the American patient. So they're doing a similar thing, but in a way that won't rupture their channels. During and after the cleanse, you have to monitor the heat in the liver, the heat in the blood. If there's any areas of rash or inflammation, you have to make sure your bowels are moving, and you have to have the channels monitored for clogging or inflammation. Now, one thing I want you to understand, it's very easy to pull the toxins out. That's not the hard part. Any liver cleanse you could think of, the toxins come pouring out. The more difficult thing is, once the toxins have come out, you want to make sure they don't start to travel and settle somewhere else or create a rash or any inflammatory response, diarrhea, fever, like that. Now, I had a patient come in. She had done some cleanse. She found out about on the, I think some holistic doctor had given it to her. And from that point on, she had recurring fevers over and over and over and over. And when I saw her, it was because the toxins had come out, but then they moved around and then they settled in her bone marrow. And the ancient doctors said, if toxins go to the bone marrow, you can get recurring fevers. So I had to clean her bone marrow, and then the fevers went away. So see, someone was just haphazardly putting her on a cleanse. The cleanses all work. It's not that they don't work, but people don't understand the American patient and all the issues they have with cleansing. See? Now, how to prevent a detox crisis? Correct preparation for the cleanse. Correct monitoring during the cleanse. You have to keep an alkaline diet, and the diet that I give you guys is an alkaline one, and maintain an alkaline pH. And you have to bind the toxins and direct them out. You have to escort them out of the body through the bowel movement and the urine. Keep them away from the skin. Eat the good binding foods, taro root, that you peel it and chop it just like a potato. It tastes just like a potato. You could cook it by itself or throw it into dal. Arrowroot, it's like cornstarch. You can get it at Whole Foods Market in the spice section. It looks like cornstarch. It's like a white powder. You could cook it with your vegetables. At the end of the cooking process, stir it in, like a half teaspoon. Arrowroot's a good binder. Okra, you just chop it into like 1/2-inch little pieces. It's very slimy. That slimy quality pulls toxins. Barley can also pull toxins. There's a vegetable called drumstick that can bind toxins out of the bone marrow. We use it a lot for our autoimmune patients. You also want to eat good liver-cooling foods like zucchini, yellow squash, and loki squash. Loki squash is something you'd have to get from an Indian market. And with that, you'd have to peel it and chop it into little, like, half-inch pieces. But it keeps the liver cool. So many of you know that in the cleanse that I give you, we're introducing these different vegetables and binders. You want to always avoid the channel-clogging foods, the nightshades, eggplant, bell peppers, white potatoes, tomatoes, soy products. These are extremely channel-clogging, tofu, soy milk, soy supplements, edamame. Whenever I have a patient who's eaten a lot of tofu, it takes me months to prepare their channels for cleansing because the channels are so clogged. The fat in the soybean we cannot absorb in our cells, so it just sticks in the channels and very channel clogging. You want to avoid like peanut butter and nut butters. They clog the channels, hard cheeses, heavy food, fast food, processed foods. Now, the best time of the year to cleanse is in the spring. That's when we have the major cleanse, and in the fall, it's a more minor cleanse. In the spring, as the snow's melting, our body's melting down the toxins. Our body starts to go into a cleansing mode. If you feel it, if you're a little sensitive, you can feel it's happening right now. And our body is depending on us to continue on with the cleansing. And the reason we don't usually cleanse in the winter is because the cold weather shrinks the channels down, see, and then it's hard to remove the toxins. Then when the spring comes and it gets warmer, the channels start to dilate back out, and it helps in facilitating the removal of the toxins. But there are various types of cleanses that can be done any time of the year. For instance, sometimes you might clean the bone marrow or clean the muscle, but in general we do the more big, like home panchakarma type cleanses in the spring and in the fall. Now the final thing, and then we'll be done, is what happens if we don't cleanse? Well, look around you. Look how much cancer and autoimmune diseases we have in America. That's what happens. So So first, the liver gets clogged up, forcing toxins to the kidneys, the bowel, the skin. There are other organs that can filter out toxins. They start to help out. And then it causes a variety of skin conditions, acne, cysts, boils, eczema. The liver plays a major role in so many other realms, like digestion, detoxification, blood sugar regulation. So many diseases could develop if the liver cleansing is ignored, like diabetes, cancer, and heart disease. And see, these are the three heavy-hitting things we have in our country. We're always looking for a cure for cancer. They're pumping a lot of money into cancer research and heart disease research. They're the two areas of research that get the most money. But we're not getting anywhere. We still have the same amount of heart attacks. The rate of cancer, I think, is just going up. And even diabetes, too. Lots of times people will tell me, check out my heart because heart disease runs in my family. But what they don't realize is it's the liver. That's where the heart disease is coming from. The blood comes into the liver real dirty, real thick, sticky, gunky, and it leaves all thinned out and clean. So if you don't clean the liver, then the blood comes in sticky, dirty, gunky, thick, and it leaves the same way, and it starts to clog the arteries to the heart, and that's what a heart attack is. So there really wasn't anything wrong with the heart. It was just the blood flow to the heart got all clogged up. So if toxins are left to accumulate, they start to travel through those seven tissues. They start to infiltrate, see? So now you have the blood coming into the liver dirty, leaves dirty, starts to circulate around the body, starts to absorb. If toxins start to settle in the brain, you could get Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, MS, Lou Gehrig's disease. If you're little, you would get autism. That's why there's so much autism. They're injecting so many these immunizations into the poor little babies nowadays. It used to be like 11, and now it's up to about 61, the 81 shots. And every shot has about 10 chemicals, like formaldehyde and really heavy metals. And those toxins burn the brain and they burn the gut. So they get autism when they're young. Over a lifetime, if you pick up toxins and you don't know how to remove them and they settle in the brain, you get Alzheimer's. It's a similar thing, just a different age group. Toxins in the bone could cause osteoporosis, like I was saying. Toxins, if they settle in the joints, you could get rheumatoid arthritis. A lot of joint stiffness where you can't bend the joints or they're getting inflamed or they get like hot. Toxins in the muscle, you get fibromyalgia, that they hurt. Wherever toxins are settling, it always hurts really badly. And toxins in the fat, you can get high cholesterol and easy weight gain. So that's the information on cleansing. I'm glad you were all able to hear it because I know you all come in and I can tell from some of your questions you're not understanding all the ins and outs of cleansing. So now if you want to unmute yourself by pressing *6 and you want to ask me questions, we could take the questions now.
Dr. Teitelbaum, this is Eileen. I just have a quick question. You said yellow squash. Did you mean like a butternut squash?
No, that's more orange.
Yellow squash
has a yellow skin. It's a summer squash.
Butternut squash
is a winter squash. The winter squashes clog the channels. The summer squashes make the body alkaline.
Okay, I know which one you mean. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, they're yellow and green.
Yes, okay.
Marianne, it's Kathy. Marianne,
okay.
Should I, at this point, stop the winter program?
Actually, you feel pretty good after you do it.
Excellent. I just did it today.
You know, I think so many people are doing so well in that that I would do 1 week do that and the next week do the home detox. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, like the home.
And then when you come in, I'll double check, like that home panchakarma.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Marianne Heim here. Can you repeat the binding foods, please? You mentioned taro root.
Uh-huh.
And we haven't gone over
the diet in your case, so you'll be learning all these things. but there's okra. There's taro root. That's a vegetable that you would get at the Indian market. You peel it and chop it like a potato.
Yeah.
Barley. And then there's tapioca. I think I forgot to mention that one. And arrowroot. When you
what
come and I give, I'll be giving you handouts on how to cook all these too, you'll see. you're just starting out, so you haven't learned as much as some of the other patients might know at this point.
Marianne, can I ask you something? Oh, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Was there another question?
Marianne?
Uh-huh.
Are you saying taro root and arrow root?
Yep. Taro root is a vegetable, and it looks like it's little. It almost looks like a coconut, but it's small, and you peel. It's a little hard to peel, but underneath it looks like a potato. And it's starchy like a potato. You have to get that from an Indian market or maybe an Asian market. I haven't seen it at Whole Foods Market. I did find it once at Wegmans.
Okay, thanks.
But arrowroot is a powder. It looks like
yes.
cornstarch. And it's a thickening agent. Like if you made, say, a chicken stew with vegetables and you add water, it gets kind of watery. If you add arrowroot, it'll thicken it up.
Marianne, By chance, you know, I know you don't use Teflon pots. Do you use stainless steel? What do you use?
Yeah, stainless steel. Mm-hmm.
Because I know Williams-Sonoma has like some kind of Kefalon or something like that.
Yeah, I don't go for all those. I'm always afraid they're going to leach some chemical into the food.
So just a regular stainless steel pots and pans?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Also, don't use any aluminum underarm deodorants. I actually wouldn't recommend you use any underarm deodorants. Under your arms, it's a very large channel. It's getting rid of a lot of toxins there. And what we're doing with the deodorants, we're shutting down the channels there. Then the toxins back up. And that's not good. It's best to just let them out. As you start cleansing, it won't smell anymore under your arms. The sweat won't smell anymore. But if it smells, it means there's a lot of amavishya, a lot of hot acidic toxins. And then it makes your sweat smell sour like that. The same way I don't recommend tampons. Your menstrual cycle is a way of eliminating toxins every month. And here you're plugging it up with that tampon, and then it reabsorbs as it's sitting in there. It's not good.
Never.
Any other questions?
Yeah, Marianne. You told me not to go out of the country, and I went on a cruise, and I got off, and I didn't drink any of the water or eat any of the food. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's okay.
I was real careful.
Okay. Well, you just have to be careful when you go to those places, that's all.
I know. Well, I did get really sick on the cruise, so I don't know. Being around a lot of people, I didn't know if that was a good idea.
Yeah. You know, it depends on your own immune system, too, how it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Marianne, this is Alan. Is taro root called something else in the Indian store?
Yeah, it probably is. I just don't know
the
name.
Do you know
name.
What the name is?
No. You know
they have tons
do?
Of vegetables with weird names, and I can't figure out which one.
You know what I'll do? I'll try to get some and keep them in my treatment room, and then when you come in, I'll show you what it looks like. Once you've seen it, then you'll know when you go to the Indian market, because they don't have so many zillions of vegetables there. You'll be able to find it. But it's little.
Okay.
It's like you could hold it in the palm of your hand. It's little, and it's brown. It has that kind of, like how coconut has those brown, like, not hairs, but fibers.
What shape is it?
It's kind of bumpy, slightly bumpy and slightly round. Maybe oval.
I think it's called Herbie at the end.
Oh, what's it called?
What's that? What's it called?
I think it's called Herbie.
How do you spell that?
I am sorry, I don't know how to spell it, but it is called, you can phonetically spell it, and when you get there you might be able to see it, but I think it's called Herbie.
Herbie?
A-R-B-I,
I
think. A-R-B-I,
okay.
It's like, I think that's what it is.
Okay.
Marianne, would you put the bitter gourd in that category too?
Yeah, bitter gourd cleans the liver. It's probably the most detoxifying vegetable we know of. It's also the
just
most bitter vegetable.
Like a couple times a week have that.
Yeah.
Which vegetable? I just missed that, sorry.
Bitter gourd. It's also known as bitter melon. And that you can only get from the Indian market. Very, very bitter. But there's
but it's not bad in the khichdi.
Yeah, if you put it in dal or khichdi, yeah.
It's not so bad.
Not so bad. But if you can get it down, the liver loves it. Any other questions?
It was a great class, Marianne.
Oh, thank you.
Very good,
yeah, this
Mary.
Is all important information. This is straight from the Vedic text. Our next conference is going to be Monday, April 4th. This one I'm going to do a little earlier, from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. And, again, if you missed tonight or you want to go back and listen again and take notes for whatever reason, you can call back this number, 610-214-0299. And the access code is the same, 704-725, followed by the pound key. And tonight's lecture will be class number 2. They'll ask which class you want. If you want the last one, just hit number 1. So that way you guys could go back and listen, or if you know someone who missed tonight, you could tell them they could listen anytime they want. Okay, well, I want to thank everyone for listening, taking time out of their busy day. But I
thank
think
you so
really
much.
That
thank
you get
you.
This.
Thank
you're
you.
Welcome. Talk to you in a few weeks then. Take care.
Bye.
Thank
Bye.
You so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.